ready to get into the presence of God.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I just want to say it is a phenomenal Sunday morning. Are you guys that excited? All right. I'm just going to give you a few announcements. First announcement. Right over here on my left, we have our guest and connect room. So if you are a guest or have a guest, or maybe you just want to connect with some people, meet some of the pastors and leaders here, come on over. We have some food, donuts, some healthy stuff like apples and stuff. I don't know what apples they get over there, but those are the best apples. And I always wait till after second service to see what apples left and take whatever's left, because they are literally the best. Second announcement is the Memorial Day Parade. Listen, Brittany is so excited to be walking in that parade. Listen, if you want to be a part, you can sign up. It's Monday, May 30th. And I just think it's an awesome opportunity to be a part of community and just kind of be able to share Jesus with people and stuff like that. So if you want to be a part, sign up either at the service desk out front or come find Brittany and she will help you get signed up. The third announcement is this Saturday we are having our annual bike blessing. Listen, for all the motorcycle bike people out there, come on out. Let's see, what else is there? If you'd like to volunteer, either contact Jamie Garrett or visit the desk out front to help volunteer. I don't know much about it, but if I had a motorcycle, I'd probably come and pull up, and I'm pretty sure it'd be fun. But I'm going to bring my bike. Listen, I'm going to come and have my little bike and my helmet, and I'm ready to go. But if you all would, you're already standing in this welcome, Pastor.
It was hot, but I'm excited to be home. How many of you enjoyed the prophet this last week? The fivefold ministry gifts are very important to the body of Christ: the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Having all five food groups in the house, being able to minister, depart, and impart the anointing that they carry brings a healthy church. Amen. So many of you received different words last week. I want to encourage you, if you haven't written them down, you want to actually take that and you want to go on our website and videotape what you were prophesied. Now, why is that important? Because the Bible says in Timothy that you should war a good warfare with the prophecies that you received. Now, I just found, I was cleaning out more of the house. I moved my stuff tomorrow. But cleaning out, I found a prophecy from 1994. So, did you hear what you just did to me? 1994, wow. 1994. The only problem I have is I have to find a cassette player. But I'm going to listen to it. Why? Well, because I know there are some parts of the prophetic word that have not come to fruition as of yet. Some of them have. I've already been to Europe and done stints in Europe. And that portion God already fulfilled probably about 8 years after the prophetic word came. So I want to remind you too, some of you are, you've never had a prophetic word before, but you want to remember this, is that the prophet might be prophesying page 8 and you're only on page 2. So you want to make sure that you don't rush through. Say amen. You want to be ready for page 8 when it comes. All right? So some practical things, and I'd encourage you to maybe come, if you have not yet, join Rock Solid Faith every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and also Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. Turn to someone and say, you got to get responsible. Join Rock Solid Faith. Amen. Some people have said to me, well, I've already graduated 5 times. That's all right. 6 is a charm. Glory to God. And so is 7. So is 8. You can never get enough. Why? Well, because you'll never know enough of the Word of God. And every time you open it, something new jumps out at you. So we're always growing and always maturing. So I'm excited that you're here today. Listen now, I love outreach. So I'm in the parades. I hope you're going to be in the parade. Our community, we have been in the local community parades now for 24 years. And really, the majority of them, we're the only church that is ever in them. So I want you to know that being in them is important. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost, not sit and save. We got a lot of Christians who had some wide buttocks. Amen. I'm talking spiritually. Wide buttocks. You sat back and you do nothing for God. It's a great opportunity to get hot, sweat, and wave. Amen. You don't have to do anything else unless you know how to do flips and all that other stuff, which my son-in-law is going to do. All right. Thank you. So today we're excited. Father, we love being where you are. God, we're so honored that your presence is real, that your presence is powerful. Yes, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of the blood that washes away every single stain, that today we can stand in the tangible presence of heaven. God, this is heaven on earth. Lord, I pray that your house will show what heaven is to be. Today, God, bring people into eternity. Lord Jesus, bring them to the place of salvation. God, bring them to the place of realization that they need you as their Savior. Bring people to the place of healing in their bodies. We curse right now sickness and disease in this room. We command every bit of it to go. Lord Jesus, for by your stripes we were healed. God, I declare in Jesus' name, anybody, God, that has a little follower, Lord, anybody that's struggling with demonic activity, we bind that devil in the name of Jesus, and we break its power over a person's life. We declare that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Pour out your love, God. There's nothing, Jesus, we want anything more. Every human wants to be loved. So God, show us your love today. Let us feel your love today. Let us show you our love today. And we thank you that today is called today, and we'll take today and live it to its fullest for the glory of God. And everybody said,
amen. Who's got the joy in the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Sing, you give me joy. There you go. Sing, you give me joy. Come on, sing it out. Sing, you give me joy.
Joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside.
peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be my strength. Come on, clap, clap, clap. Can I see you move side to side a little bit? We can show we're joyful on the outside. Stronger, the joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater,
His power, His power.
It makes me stronger, stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger, the joy of the Lord. It makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater,
His power, His power.
It makes me stronger. Joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need.
You will always
be. You're the joy.
Joy no one can take away.
You are.
You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing that with me.
Sing, my hallelujah belongs to you.
It is only yours, God.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
All the glory.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
God, sometimes it's just good to get off our world and get into yours. We thank you that you live in a place of peace. That God, that all that you are is that love, that joy, that peace. God, I thank you for your long suffering with us, and at times we all need a little extra. God, I thank you that you are patient with us. And God, you are good to us. You are a good God. We thank you that we can serve you, not because we have to, but because we want to. Thank you, Father, that you are so good to us that we desire to. Lord, I don't want to live without you. I thank you that you are an intricate part of our lives. You're not just a Sunday visitation. Lord, I thank you that today you're in this place and you care about us. There are folks, God, that are caring what they shouldn't be today. I ask that they'll cast their cares upon you, for you care for them. That Jesus, they'll get that heavy weight. You said your burden's a light, Lord. As we look to you and as we ask you, you said you'll take those burdens off. Let it feel like, God, just a ton of weight coming off our shoulders this morning as we're in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. Love you. We thank you for loving us. Somebody here, you have straining. I don't even know how to explain it. I'm just going to tell you. If you go to your belt buckle and you go down to the top part of the groin, there's a pulling. And it's not pain, it's a pulling. And I don't know if it's muscular or it's infection, but you're carrying it this morning. In the name of Jesus, I curse sickness. I curse any portion, God. Lord, whether it be a pulling, I pray, God, that the muscles will be healed. If it's, Lord, an infection, I curse the infection in the name of Jesus. And I command the infection to leave the body in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord. You're also healing somebody's left ankle on the inside. Lord, it could go right around that ankle, God, just like a big circle. Lord, I just speak right now to that bone. I speak right now. I curse arthritis in the name of Jesus. God, I command the pain to be gone for the glory of God. Lord, there's also somebody dealing with infection in their ears. I right now speak to the infection, and I command it to dry up. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God, I thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. There's somebody here, and the top of your mouth, back just as it starts to descend down into your throat, what's that thing that hangs there? What's that thing called? That thingamajiggy bob. Uglia? Guys keep speaking in tongues. We're going to have an interpretation. Right where that is sore. And it's not like a sore in the factor of like a cold. It's just, it's very tender. God, I know you're concerned about it. The Lord showed me you're concerned about it. And he's taken that away in the name of Jesus. God, I command all the tenderness to go, and the cause of it, I curse it, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I command the cells right now to come into order. I said order. And I command healthy cells right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you care about every need in our life. There are some here dealing with financial needs. Lord, I release the spirit of blessing, Lord, on your people. Lord, I curse the devil who would try to touch the finances of your people that are tithers. Lord, I command him right now to loose him and let him go. Whatever he's touched, he's got to return for the glory of God. 7 times what he's touched in Jesus' name. Lord, we just want to say again, thank you for caring for us. We honestly appreciate it. And you are real. And you do care for us. And I personally just want to say thank you. You're good. And I thank you that you're ever present, especially in times of trouble. You're always faithful, Jesus. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Before you all go sit down, if everyone can do me a favor, go find somebody you don't know this morning. Now, I know that the normal thing is everyone just sits on their hineys. Please get off your hineys and go meet somebody that you don't know. It only takes a minute to be nice. Remember, in heaven, God's going to ask you if you are a kind person. Be kind to somebody this morning.
Hi, I'm so glad that you're here watching online. My name is Emily.
I'm V.
And we're so glad that you're watching. What do you do here?
I'm a youth leader.
And I am too. And then I also do social media and marketing. Yes. Hi, Miss Carla. Hi. We miss you.
Najee.
Hi, Najee. We're so glad that you're watching. Good morning, Judy.
Diane.
Good morning, Diane. Let us know where you're watching from. If you're watching from anywhere, probably home. Wait, who?
Kara.
Oh, hi, Kara. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know if we can pray with you for anything. We can do that right here with you.
Memorial Day Parade.
Yes. So,
you want to tell them? Yeah. So, we have that going on next Monday, I believe. It's Memorial Day. May 31st. HISTAB will be walking in the parade. We are excited to be out in the community. So, make sure to come and join us. If you're in the area, if you're local, Elmira, Horseheads, Corning, Watkins, if you're in the area, come join us. If you want to register, I believe you have to talk to Brittany.
Or Emily,
she deals with that. So we want you to be a part of this. Come and be a part of the community with us. And then I think we also have the motorcycle
blessing.
Yes, tell them more about that.
So that is Saturday. Can you pull up the calendar really quick? I just want to make sure that I give you guys the right day. So that will be Saturday, May 28th, if I'm not mistaken. The registration is also online. So there will be raffles, there will be giveaways. I believe that there's going to be a motorcycle blessing and a motorcycle ride. So you make sure that you want to be a part of that. If I had a motorcycle, I would be a part of it, but I don't. I think it's so cool just seeing everybody ride down the road, just all like in one pack. Yeah, and it's really nice weather. So make sure that you check it out. I know that the registry or the register, how to register. For you to register, it's online. This is Buddy.
What's up, y'all? Good morning. Y'all look fantastic this morning. Good morning, y'all. What's up?
Well, let's see.
Karen.
So Karen is home with a bad cold. So Karen, we can go ahead and pray for you if you'd like. We see somebody from New York City. I wish I was in New York City. But we're going to go ahead and take a moment and pray for Karen. It looks like she's dealing with a bad cold, so we're going to go ahead and pray. Jesus, we thank you for the finished work of the cross. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you died not only for our sins, but also took away sickness on the cross. So I declare healing. I declare restoration in her body right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for complete health, and we thank you that it is done in Jesus' name.
Listen, we are excited for today's service.
Yes.
We finally have Pastor back.
Yes, so I'm so excited to hear him preach. I believe that he'll be preaching about discipleship today, which I believe is an amazing topic. So you want to make sure that you stay tuned in for the rest of the service.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, guys, good morning. So happy to be in the house of the Lord with you together. This is good. Everyone's talking. Y'all love each other. This is healthy. But hey, we have something really awesome this morning. I have a testimony that we want to share with you. So if you don't mind, will you put your hands together real quick for Melissa as she comes to tell you what God's just done in her life? This is awesome. So make sure you lock in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? So I have really exciting things that's happened to me financially. So a couple of years ago, God was working on me to become debt free. And it didn't seem like it was something that it was ever possible. And then I don't know if you guys remember, right at the beginning of COVID, like the interest rate for mortgages went way low. And God told me at that time I needed to refinance my mortgage. And I went from a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan, dropped my interest rate significantly, and my payments were really the same that they were at my 30-year loan. So that took like 17 years off my payments, really put me in a place where I'm moving towards that being paid off. Now, with that being said, my car got paid off. I was able to pay that off, and I keep that car just running. but I have student loan debt, and I never really thought that there was a way out of that. And as I was praying, and as I believe God is moving me to be debt-free, because the word says that we are to be the lenders and not the borrowers, that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And as I was praying about it, God reminded me of how many times I have spoken out of my mouth that I'm going to be paying that debt till I die. I used to say that all the time. I would say, oh, I'll be paying my student loans till, you know, I'll just, it's never going anywhere. Because I would make a payment and it would keep going up. And God reminded me how powerful my words are. And that out of my mouth, I'm going to form the world before me. So I had to repent. I had to take back those words. And I had to believe and speak supernatural debt cancellation. No matter what it looked like, no matter what it feel like, no matter how many thousands of loans, dollars of loans I had to believe the word. I tithe, I seed, and I give. Not because I want God to do something for me, but because of how good he is. I'm obedient with my finances. And as a result, he was able to bless me. So I recently, 2 weeks ago, did all the paperwork and filled out the stuff. I was part of a program that if you paid for so many years, your federal loans were forgiven. And I wasn't even halfway through that program. And I filled out some paperwork. There were some new things that came through that if you, they would look back at all your old loans and your old employment. So I filled out the paperwork and I just found out 2 weeks ago that $43,500 was completely forgiven of my student loans. Yes. So one day I logged in and it said that balance, and the next day it says zero. That's God. That's God. $0. So I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you be obedient. You do your part, and God always shows up and does his part.
Amen. 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 Look, God wants to move in every single area of your life. And we've been talking and we've been believing for breakthrough all the way up until June 5th, the day of Pentecost, that God's going to do supernatural, abnormal things on our behalf because we're standing in faith. And if you remember, there's five positions that we can be in financially in God's kingdom. Number one, we cannot be involved at all. Number two, we can be in and we can be out. Sometimes we're doing it, sometimes we're not. Number three, we can be tither. That's great. That's the starting point. Four, we can tithe and we can sow. But I think the ultimate, the best place we can be is we can tithe, we can sow, but we can stand in faith for what we believe God's going to do on our behalf. So I know a lot of people, they tithe and they sow and they get frustrated because nothing happens. They see nothing. But when we do all of it and we stand in faith, God's going to move on your behalf. Amen? I have a verse to read for you, and then we're going to give our offerings this morning. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37, it says, judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, shaken, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And I love this because literally it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law of reciprocation in the kingdom. And people will talk bad about churches. Oh, they just want your money. But it's crazy because we have a whole new generation now. They're like, I'm going to manifest this thing. You give to the earth and the earth will give to you. It's like, that's the Bible. You guys crucify us for saying that God will do it, but you're okay like giving it to the earth. It's wild. Because my God made the earth. You'll give to the earth, but I'll give to God, and you'll get mad at me, and you'll say that I'm a heretic, and I just want money. No, I don't just want your money. I want to see God bless you. I want to see God give back to you. And the measure that we give is the measure that we receive, according to the word, and also these people that think the earth gives back. So I'm going to take God at his word because he's not a liar and he comes through every single time. And I want to encourage you to do the same, that the best thing you can do is to be consistent with the Lord in every single one of his promises, not just in your finances, but every single one of his promises. And you're going to see him come through. Amen. Amen. Here we teach and we believe a tithe. That's 10% of whatever you made this last week is what we give back to the Lord. And then anything above and beyond that would be a seed, and that will be given back above, and the measure that you give, you receive. Amen?
There's a couple ways you can do that. You can give in an envelope, which is in the back of your seat. You can give online, or you can text to give. That's completely up to you. But we all do the same thing here. We all bring our offering to the Lord. So if you want to come and tap your phone on the bucket, you want to put your envelope in the bucket, we bring our offering to the Lord. We're not here to take from you. We receive what is for the Lord. Amen? Amen? Can everybody stand to your feet? We're going to receive the offering this morning. And Pastor said that I had to do the supernatural blessing, even though I love giving other people an opportunity. So we'll do it like this. I'll listen. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now declare this. I'm blessed. Like you mean it. I'm blessed. Like God's going to do something in your life. I'm blessed. Amen. You can go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching online, we want to say thank you so much for being here. Don't go anywhere. Pastor Spencer's going to be here in just a moment to share the word. If you'd like to give, if this ministry has impacted your life, you can do so right online right now. You can send a check. If you're bold, you can send a check and believe the USPS is going to follow through. But we'd love you to stick around. Make sure you let us know where you're watching from. Can't wait for a great service.
Man, don't you love that song? Gets in your gizzard, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for our worship team. Can you give God praise for our worship team? If you'd like to join the worship team, if you cannot sing, no, you're not welcome. Amen. But if you can sing or you play an instrument, we're always looking for more instrument. I love personally a saxophone. And so if you can play saxophone, I'd like you to try out, see Minister McKenzie, and try out. I think we need a saxophonist. A flautist. A trumpeter. Amen. We need a rocket. Here we go. I'm excited for today. I just love where God's been bringing us this whole year. And What's important for everyone to grasp and why it's important to be consistent? Turn to someone and say, consistency is everything. The reason your pastor pushes you for consistency is because here we build line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm not going to a book, and I don't know if you know that, but there are books that I could purchase, and in there are 52 sermons. And what you do is you just open the page to the 52nd or the 32nd sermon of the year, and you preach out of that little booklet. But I don't do that. I want to know what God has to say to his people. Amen. Our God is not dead. God is alive. And Jesus is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, it's not my church. I said, it's not my church. Somebody came up to me one time and said, How is your church going? I don't know. I don't got one. It makes it easy. Why? Well, because if I have something that I should not possess, that's called stealing. Amen. You see, I'm not the owner of the church. There's only one owner, and his name is Jesus. He is the head of the church, according to the word of God. So Christ has set himself as the head, and we are his body. And the Bible made the declaration that we are the household of faith, that we are his sons and we are his daughters, and that we as the body of Christ here on this earth are the legislative body. It's called the ecclesia, the church. We are the church, God's heavenly place on earth. I want to remind you, that's why at church we should not be people that are sitting around in morbidity. It shouldn't be something that the children are saying, oh dear God, is it lunchtime yet? It should be a place of excitement, a place of literally the tangible presence of God, that anointing that sets the captives free is available, and that the word that comes from the preacher is not something out of a book besides the Bible. Come on now, say amen. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We've got to know that God's word, there's the anointing, that God's word is there to accomplish God's purposes. And when God's word is spoken at the right time, then the release in the presence of God to the people of God empower them to fulfill God's destiny and design for that time and that season. You see, a word in season changes how the season runs. So we've got to know that we've got to be in the seasons of God. And that's why just pulling a message out of a book is unacceptable. Say amen. Amen. And you and I are built different. Turn to someone and say, you've been built different. If you're born again, you are not the same as the people of the world. I do want to give a great welcome to my sister and brother-in-law. They moved here yesterday from Massachusetts. I believe all I have is nieces and nephews that haven't yet moved to New York State. I'm sorry, it was New York. But really, the families come because of the house of the Lord. I want you to realize, I was sharing this with the body of Christ. We do prayer at 8 a.m. Is that what we have here at his tabernacle is very rare. Many people don't realize that because this might have been the only church you've ever gone to. But what we have here is rare. The presence of God here in this house is rare. There are churches all over America that don't ever experience the presence of the Lord like we do. And even the worship and the presentation of the word is rare. So you need to know that you need to be thankful for what you got. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So in New England, where my sister lived in Maine, there was nothing there. Where my brother-in-law and sister lived in Massachusetts, there was one church and it was 45 minutes away. So it's rare to be able to find a good, solid church. And I thank God for his Tabernacle Family Church, because the greatest part of this house is, first of all, Jesus Christ, but second of all, the people of God. Turn to someone and say, you make this place amazing. The goal, as we are being built different in the things of the Lord, is to bring an understanding. This whole year's understanding is to change people's mentality from going to church to coming home. I want to remind you that we are preparing ourselves for heaven. Heaven is not a location. Heaven is home. And when you understand that, then coming to church is not just a religious obligation, but it literally is coming to the place where we hang out with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we hear the word of the Lord, and we can worship together like we're going to do in eternity. You see, we're in preparatory mode, but yet in preparation, God has us on a design desire to accomplish his will here on earth. So the church, if it doesn't do it God's way, then we are truly in a mismatched position. Because when we understand what God's desire is, then we fulfill God's will. Look, Jesus said it best. I only do what the Father's told me to do. I only go where the Father's told me to go. I only say it the way the Father's told me to say it. You see, when we understand that we are on a mission on this earth, that we're not wandering, we aren't lost, but we have been mandated from heaven for this time and this season, for you've been born for such a time as this, that when you understand that, then you have purpose on this planet other than sucking air, making a few bucks and dying and being put in the ground. Say amen. So as the believers of Christ, we've got to learn that we've got to do it the originator's way, not our way. We've got to do it the originator's way, not our way. You heard me say this before. when you buy something, when you buy, let's just say, an electronic, they have something in there called instructions. Now, there are folks that are really good. You don't need instructions. Can all the people that don't need instructions raise your hands? All those like myself, please raise hands, feet, and nose. Glory to God. I'm one where even with the instructions, at times it's a little challenging to me. Amen. I am one that you do not want to put together a TV console. I buy them put together. Very rarely do I get irritated. I think the last time I tried to put a grill together, the top end of the grill went flying about 20 feet. The grill doesn't even have a personality, but I gave it one. Why? Well, because that's just not my gift. But I want you to know that I always open the instructions and I always pray for the easy three steps. Say amen. With that, we've got to know that we can't do it our way. The instructions have been put in our hands called the Word of God. So when God is building his house, whose house? I said, when God is building whose house? We've got to do it the originator's way, not our way. And that's what makes us build different even than other religious institutions. People say to me, do you think you're better than other churches? Oh, absolutely. Well, isn't that arrogant? No. Well, why? Well, because they're designing their religious institution out of a man's concepts, where I choose to open the book of Acts and read the instructions from the creator of the creature. You see, when you learn to do that, then you realize that even your mistakes are easily corrected because you can go back to the instructions and understand how the originator desired it to be. Have you ever put the wrong leg in the wrong place? Listen, now, I don't like to admit this, but I put together a bookcase one day, and I put the long screws where the short screws were supposed to go. Well, they don't tell you how long they are. They just say A, B, C, D. And so I had to take all the old ones out and put all the other ones in. What a pain in the rear end. But the great part is I at least had instructions to know that I had to take them out to put another one in. When you've been built the way God wants you to build, you don't always make the right decisions. But you can go back and figure out how it's supposed to be. The problem is this, is that in these last days, and we all know we're in the last days, you literally have to be intellectually dull to not understand that we are in the last days of this earth. That when you open the scripture, the next prophecy left to be fulfilled is the trumpet of God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, that the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. The next prophecy to actually happen is the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the body of Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We see this in the book of, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. We also see this in the verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that in a twinkling of an eye, we should all be taken away. We are so close to Jesus coming, and there is no greater time for us to make sure that our house is built right. I said our house is built right. Because when your house is built on the sand, the scripture said that the place is going to cave in when the winds come and the winds blow. That if you and I are not built upon the rock, Jesus is the rock. Can I hear an amen? That when we built our faith on the rock, that no matter what storms comes in our way, we can stand. And after we've done all we can do to stand, we will stand therefore. You see, you don't need to be a rocking chair. You don't need to be one that's always toppling and boppling. You can be one who will stand. And in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, that anointing will come upon you. The power of God will come upon you. And you'll stand and not just barely make it, but your shoulders back, your head high, because God is living inside of you. There's nothing that can defeat you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible says in these last days there'll be an apostasy that will happen. Apostasy is very serious. And it's what we have to pay attention to. Well, why? But because the word describes apostasy. The word shows us that there will be an apostasy in the church. Now, the problem with that is, for those who do not pay attention, that if you don't pay attention of what can go wrong, then you don't shore up what needs to be fixed to make sure you don't fall into it. Amen. So what is apostasy? The Bible says very clearly it's a falling away, an abandonment of the faith, a leaving. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciousness are dead," or consciences are dead. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine." And in this house, we have sound doctrine. "Will not put up with sound doctrine." That's why we have people that won't stay, because they'll hear me preach the gospel and I don't preach it with a bend or a twist to it. Somebody said to me, "Well, I don't like it. You're too forthright." Well, I'd rather be forthright here than in the world to come. Can I say amen? And I'm not afraid of humans. I got over that a long time ago. I like to be liked, but the fact is that not everyone's going to like you. And I learned a long time ago, there's only one I got to please, and his name is Father God. Because when I stand in judgment, I'm not going to be standing with you. I'm standing all by myself. Can I hear an amen? And I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I'm going to make sure I'm doing it right. Can I hear an amen too? "Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." There's a preacher out there. I'm going to say his name. His name is Joseph Prince. Preaches a message on grace that is apostasy. He preaches that all your sins from your past, your present, and your future are already forgiven. You can live any way you want, and God's already forgiven you. That is called cheap grace. That is not the word of God. That is not truth. That is just one that I will just simply share, because it is one that people buy all the time because it fixes their itching ears. Say amen. Amen. "And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Here it is now. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So here we have something very serious. And the seriousness of our time and season is to make sure that you don't fall into becoming one of the great apostasy. That you make sure that you are shored up and strengthened, that no matter what weapon the devil forms against you, it cannot prosper. But that is something that cannot be done accidentally. It must be done on purpose. And God has a design for us. That's what I love so much about our designer. The designer said, "Here's a flaw that could come, so let me do the building this way to make sure that the roof doesn't cave in." We don't have to go far to figure out how God wants and has structured his ecclesia, his church, his building to protect us. And this is where the church has to come to a shaking in their head. And that is that whatever God has put in his word isn't always comfortable, but it is always safe. The Bible says very clearly in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." God wants to make sure that you're not going to fall away. He loves you so much that he wants to make sure that you're not going to make choices that are going to separate you for all of eternity. I think we forget the longevity of hell, which is in and of itself still short, because it will be regurgitated in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, to the great white throne judgment. And then all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the final destination of all the doomed. Dooming only comes because they rejected the blood of Jesus that washes away sin. It's not joining a church. It's not joining a religion. In fact, many people have a strange concept of church, and they actually believe that it is a religious experience. I want you to know that salvation is not a religious experience. It's a supernatural transformation. That if you've truly accepted Jesus as your Savior, there is a change in your inner man. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You are a changed individual. God does not need to do religion on you. God simply has a relationship with you. And the more you hang out with somebody, the more you become like somebody. When you get married, can I hear an amen to all the married folk? You learned after a period of time that there are things your husband and your wife did and did not like. That if you did them, it was non-advantageous for your day. Or bedroom experience. Amen. Boy, it got quiet. Well, we should have a marriage seminar. When you build a house, you want to make sure that the design that the creator has put in order comes put together correctly. And there are many believers that struggle. They struggle because, well, I'm planning to build a new house. So I have the design made. I actually have my financing in order. And all that's nice. But until you pick up the hammer, you ain't going to have a house. Until you actually start making something happen and putting some work to it, then it's nice. It's a good dream, but it will never be a reality. And there are many Christians who have a dream of going to heaven, but many people that will not have a reality because they're unwilling to follow the instructions of the manual. Oh, say amen or oh my. As we are being built different, I'm trying to keep to my notes because I felt like preaching like 2 hours today, and that just is not going to work out well. You need to know that the enemy hates you deeply. Satan is real. I don't know if you've ever seen a demon-possessed person, but you know, in America, we see them in the movies. When you see them in person, it really is unique. Because the movies kind of take on real form. When you actually watch somebody, their face literally morphs in front of you. Like I watched a woman down in Tennessee, her face went from a nice, innocent individual into the face of a dog and then back as I cast the demon out of her. When you watch a young girl, and we saw this, I have witnesses in the room, back in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, when Tina, 4'11", dropped to the floor and slithered up the aisle like a snake without using her hands or her feet. And the four men that went to go apprehend her were tossed about like little rag dolls. We look at demonology as a nice little theory, but the truth is that the devil hates you and he's going to do everything to derail you. But he learned a long time ago with America, he cannot be as forthright as he is in other third world nations. In other third world nations, it's not strange for demonology and the demonic to be more evident. And it's normal in those countries. But in America, demons are kind of quiet. They're more subtle. The devil's not running around with his little red suit with his pitchfork with his long tail. He's coming in as an angel of light. And he is striving to make sure that if you do give your heart to Jesus, that you don't continue in your relationship with God. And the way he does that, we see that there are four types of ground in the book of Matthew chapter 13. The first type of ground is where all of a sudden it's called stony ground, where you hear the message today, God ministers the word to you, there's enough faith to be saved, but the Bible says because of no understanding in your heart, the devil comes and steals the seed of the word. I want to remind you that life is in the seed, so that you've got to protect the seed, because what seed is sown is what tree will produce, what fruit will be manifested. So as a believer, we've got to watch the seeds that are planted, and if they're good seed, we want to protect them. The second type of ground is the type of ground that does the seed does not grab root with. And it receives the seed with excitement. But what happens is, because it does not have root, it literally is dried up and does not have longevity, and it dies right there in the dirt. The third type of ground is the ground that is with thorns and thistles, where the seed grabs root, it all of a sudden starts to grow, but the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world literally choke out the seed, where we now get too busy for God. The American apostate church, the average Christian comes one out of every 3 weeks. That's called apostasy. Well, that's kind of judgy, don't you think? Oh, no. You try to go to work once every 3 weeks and see what happens. I just challenge you not to go to work for 3 days. And then go back to work and let's see what they say. Where have you been? I was camping. Camping? You're supposed to be at work on Monday. Yeah, but you know, my family and I just needed a break. How long are you going to keep that job? But then you tell the creator of heavens and earth, listen, I'm not coming to your house this week because I'm too busy. My kids got sports. You know, Pastor, I just was kind of tired on Sunday morning. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, there's somebody in that church I just don't like. Then what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Go to the other side of heaven? Nah, you messed up. You're part of the apostate church. You don't mind me being honest, do you? And all of a sudden, it's all choked out. Those are nice shoes. Sorry, I like shoes. What size are those? Nah, you're too big. The last kind of ground is the ground that is good ground. That is when the seed goes into good soil, that all of a sudden it produces 30, 60, 100 fold. What's the difference between the 30, 60, 100 fold is not the ground, it's how the ground is cared for. So if you're truly born again, your manifestation of God's blessing in your life will be 30, 60, 100 fold, not because of God's desire, because God's desire is always fullness. God has never done half. God has always done full. So the issue is never God. The issue is how do you keep the ground? Now, you see, I was going to plant some deer clover 1 year. I went out and bought the seed, which is very expensive, by the way. And so I decided I'm going to go, you know, till the land. And then someone told me, you got to take a soil sample, Pastor. What? It's dirt. No, you got to take a soil sample. I said, okay, what do we do with that? Well, you got to send it into this company. I said, all right. And you got to pay money. I said, no, I don't think so. They're going to tell you how much lime you got to put in, how much fertilizer you're going to put in, how much this to make the land the most optimum position to bring the greatest fruit out of the ground from the seed. For life is in the seed. And I made a very quick decision. No. There's grass in my yard. There are deer in my yard every day. I never put anything on my grass. But the fact is that if I wanted that to work right, I'd have to do it right. You see, the decision had nothing to do with the soil. It had to do with the one that was either going to cultivate the soil, take care of the soil, or not. I could have thrown all those seeds out, and I'd have got some to take. But it never would have been 100-fold. The question to your life and my life is, what do we want God to actually do in our lives? We want God to do, but what do to make the do happen? Now, I'm not talking salvation. Salvation is free. You can't buy salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But yet to bring the fruit to the greatest optimal position of 30, 60, 100-fold, you got to make sure you do it right. Listen now, to make sure you're not going to be part of the apostasy, you've got to make sure that you do your Christianity right. And there are a lot of folks that don't do God right. Boy, it's awful quiet in here, isn't it? I went to a Pentecostal church, thought I'm coming back to a Pentecostal church. Y'all know there's a clock in the back, right? So whenever you see me go like this, I'm looking at the clock. I want to share with you a plan that the American church hates, but it is saturated in the scripture. And the reason the American church hates it is because it takes effort. We want God with little effort. We want God's best, but we want to give him our quarter. I want you to know that God is a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20. Because he's jealous, that simply means this. He wants nothing before him. That understanding why we're on this earth is imperative to understand of where our greatest surrender must be. You will only surrender because humans have a drive within us of what do I get out of this? That's why you got saved, right? I said, that's why you got saved, right? You got saved, why? I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Anybody else is a liar? You didn't get saved because you wanted to join a church. Your church could be in bed with pillows, breakfast brought to you. I just feel Jesus all over again. But you got saved, you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life because you simply don't want to be separated from God. You want a relationship with God, but even greater than that, what you get out of it is your long-term life. That's why people got saved. Everything we do in humanity, whether you like it or not, is seed time and harvest. You're always, listen, people say, well, I don't give to get. You're a liar or foolish. Everything we do is to give to get. Why are you here this morning? To get. Why did you get in your car and turn the key on? To get. Why are you breathing? To get. Everything we do when we're alive is give to get. And God understands that. That's how he made us. So there's always advantages to make sure that when God gives us, there will always be a get. That's why seed time and harvest will never cease. It will always be before us. Why? Well, because God created it that way. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, he said, life is in the seed. So whatever you want is a harvest, you've got to plant. So if you don't want to fall away from Jesus, you don't want to become part of the apostate church. I feel sections coming on. I haven't had to do this in a lot of years. You're going to be my hallelujah section. Either I'm preaching really, really good, or you're all tired. You're my hallelujah section. Let's practice. Hallelujah. Listen, you yell at your children louder than that. Here we go. Hallelujah. You're my amen section. Amen. And you're my oh my section. Oh my. Oh my. Come on, we got to pay attention now. Here we go.
Oh my. Amen. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh
See, now we're Pentecostal all over again. God has a plan. Turn to someone and say, God's got a plan for my benefit. Now you got to get that or else you won't grab this. If you don't grab the fact that God is doing this to protect you, that God is doing this to secure you, that God is doing this so that you will have longevity in your walk with the Lord. God does not need shooting stars. He needs sons and he needs daughters. Say amen. So God's plan has always been discipleship. We read the verse earlier, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. What is a disciple? A disciple is a pupil. A disciple is a student. A disciple is one that is disciplined. Disciplined. We don't mind disciplining our babies. We just don't want disciplining ourselves. Just down in Naples and down in Marco Island. And I want you to know that I was undisciplined because they had ice cream all the time. Hey, thank you. You know how it is when salad comes to visit. So the last night, you know, we're sitting around and he's making crepes. I'm actually going to buy a crepe machine. I never even thought of it before. But I'm going, these folks are from South Africa. It's Jade's family. So, you know, I'm going to buy a crepe machine. He's making these crepes and he's putting, you know, cinnamon and sugar in it. And I'm putting some butter lathered in it and a little bit of lemon on it. And I said, I'm just going to have one. After three, it was pretty good. And then I said, listen, now, I don't really need a shake. Well, what kind of shake do you want? I really don't need a shake. What kind of shake do you want? I don't know. You know, whatever you got. I drank the shake, had my three of those. Man. I was sitting back going, I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. Discipline is everything. Getting out of bed is discipline. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus planned for us to be disciplined. He planned for us to be pupils for life. That people say to me, well, you know, Pastor, I went to the classes at church, but I've been to them all. Listen, I've been teaching them. I've been teaching rock solid faith now for 25 years. I wrote the books. I rewrote books back in, what was it, 12 years ago? I'm teaching my own writing. I never get bored. Why? Because God's word is living. For the word of God is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word is alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. We've got to know in reality that the word of God Jesus put before us is for us to be disciplined consistently. You should always be in a class. You should always be in a class. You should always. Don't I get a drape or anything? I'm supposed to, you guys supposed to drape me? This is not just the plan of man, this is the plan of Christ. Ooh, I've got to hurry. Jesus didn't just say it, he modeled it. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. Every single day. Every single moment of every single day. There's nothing more irritating than hanging around Peter every single day. Jesus spent to hang out with them. He chose to discipline them. He chose to teach them. He taught them about the kingdom. He taught them how to lay hands on the sick. He taught them how to cast out devils. Everything he wanted his disciples to become, he discipled them. He taught them as they were the student and he was the master. And as the master was teaching them, Rabboni, rabbi, was teaching them. They stayed under the covering of the rabbi to learn good doctrine so that they could maturate to become a duplication of what God's design was them for to be. But what happens in the American church with the apostate church, with the Christians that seem to always start strong but end weak, and I want you to know something. You should never end weak. You should always end stronger than you began, especially on a job. Say amen or oh my. See, and this is where we see this all coming together. Even the 12, if they didn't spend time, they wouldn't have gone from disciple to apostle. This how-do thing Jesus taught well. How about Peter? He was a commercial fisherman. I got to stay to my notes. I'm in trouble. History says he had a company that had at least 3 mid-sized boats. His company was strong enough that when he went to serve Jesus, it was still running. How do we know that? Because remember when Jesus died on the cross, he went back to his fishing thing and it was still running. He had a family. He had a mother-in-law. Peter was passionate. He was loyal. He was driven. He was an irritation. He was arrogant. One minute he said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The next chapter, Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." One minute he pulls a sword out, cuts the ear of the servant off in the garden. Jesus reached down, picks it up, puts it back on. Pretty good miracle. The next thing, Peter's running back to his boat and he abandons Jesus as he denied him 3 times. But what I love about the Lord is that he knows our infractions. He knows our foolishness. But if we remain as a pupil, if we remain as students, if we remain faithful, can I hear an amen? If we remain faithful in understanding the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, maturating in the Word of God, then there's one thing that is for sure. You will never, ever, ever have to fall and stay down. You'll get back up. If Peter did not remain a disciple, he would never have been the rock. He would have been a pebble. How about Paul? Paul the Apostle, man, he was a learned man. He learned under the second greatest teacher of all of Israel. But yet, when he got saved in Acts chapter 9, what did Jesus do? Jesus sent him into the desert of Arabia, and the Bible says that for 3 years, Paul was a student directly under Jesus as manifestation happened daily as he was being trained by Christ, just like the disciples were being trained by Jesus. Paul was trained by Jesus as a disciple under his tutelage personally in the desert of Arabia. How about the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42? The Bible says, and they remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Here's the issue. The church in America today doesn't want to go to church on Sunday, never mind become true students, pupils of the kingdom, and go twice a week. Pastor, you're just wanting more church attendance. You better believe it, and I'll tell you why. Because I have to give an account for your soul. Hebrews chapter 13 says, I have to give an account for every soul that I've been given authority with. So that means this. If you stand before the Lord, and I have to stand before the Lord for you. And he says, what'd you do for them? I say, I gave Rock Solid Faith on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., on Thursday night at 7 p.m. We have men's groups. We have women's groups. We have Bible studies. We have preaching on Sunday. We have groups. We have this. We have this. We have this. We have this. Jesus, I gave them every opportunity to be students. And they chose not to be. And we wonder why we wane. You know, if your kid doesn't go to school for 2 to 3 weeks, what happens? Hello? Where's your kid? Well, I just decided they didn't really need school this week. Oh, really? We call that truancy. And now the parent can get arrested for child abuse. I ain't getting no child abuse charges on me at all. When I stand before the Father, I say, I gave them everything I need to give them so they could grow up in you and not become part of the place where the devil could steal the seed. You know, in this house, we're built different. And we're built different on purpose. Majority of churches I go to and minister at, they don't have any kind of discipleship that like we have here. In fact, many of them are now buying our books and using them in their churches. You have the origination. Actually, I'm going to correct that. The originator was my pastor in Rochester, New York. That's where I first learned this. And then I rewrote books. And I want you to know something, that coming to church on a Sunday is awesome. And you know, in our house, we have over 1,300 people that call this their home. We have over 1,000 people that come all week long. So not just on Sunday, but different people that will come throughout the week, whether it be Bible study, whether it be classes. Over 1,000 people come every single week. Different people come every single week here. But can you imagine with 1,000 people every single Sunday morning, what kind of ruckus we can create in the demonic world? Can you imagine if we're all learning? Come on now, together. We're all growing together. We're not being religious. We're being pupils. God, I got to know about you. God, I got to learn about you. Jesus, I need to be in that corporate anointing. For one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. God, I want to be where that presence of the Lord is. Why? Because I know, according to Psalms 133, that's where the commanded blessing occurs. God, I've got to be where your word is being taught, for the word is alive and real and transforming. God, I want to be where the worship is so I can get enveloped in your very presence, that tangible anointing, that I can literally ascend into heaven in the spirit and I can worship you in spirit and in truth. You see, all of this is what God's design is for his church. Not our church, but his church. And we've got to protect that. Why? Because our life is wrapped up in the kingdom of God. And as we grow and as we're pupils, we can become solid and steadfast and not vacillating and confused and saying, God, I love you, but I don't like church. God, I love you, but I don't want to go to church. God, I love you, but I love the bar better. This is what happens. It's never really a quick descent. It's a slow. And it's the same way with educating yourself. You don't get to kindergarten and they start serving you trigonometry. My name is Larry. Do you know is there a Larry in the house this morning? Do you realize we can't keep Larrys in this church? In 24 years of ministry, we have never kept a Larry long. Larry! Come home! Sorry, I just had to say that. As your pastor, my heart and this year being built different is that this is not seen as church. This is seen at home. This is your house. It's not my house, God's house. But when we come into this place, we're coming to our dad's home. And you're sitting around the table. Come on now, buckle up around the table and let's have some good vittles. Let's eat some good food. Tomahawk steaks. Jesus, my God. Mashed potatoes, some corn on the cob. For all the salad folk, God made green for grass, not for matcha. You ever drink matcha, you know you just licked a lawnmower blade. Nasty stuff. He's got the best for you to eat. Because God's table is always the best. And God's heart for you is that you don't just start this house, you finish the house. You don't just start building, you finish the building. You don't just start the race, you finish the race strong. That when he sees you face to face, baby, and it could be today. Could be today before this service is over. Before I give an altar call, God could come. That trumpet of God could sound. Well, we hear that every week. Well, one of these weeks, you're going to be shocked if you're still sitting there. Then you've got no opportunity. I want to remind you that if you have an opportunity to be saved before the rapture of the church and you denied it, you will not be given the option to be saved during the Great Tribulation period. You'll be lost for all of eternity. That's why coming to church is bad if you don't want God, because now you've been told and you're going to be held accountable for the knowledge you've been given. Can I challenge you today? Thank you. Can I challenge you to stop being a Sunday morning Christian or once a monther? Can I challenge you to be somebody that will be faithful? Can I challenge you to be somebody that will be a disciple? Not making God part of your convenience package so you don't go to hell, but part of your lifestyle to be his follower. To run this whole race and make God your priority. As we must be built different, our excuses are always excuses. And listen now, every time you use an excuse, you validate your own mentality. I never allow excuses. Because you start using one, you'll always fall back on another. And then you've already fallen back, gone, apostate. My question to you is, at some point in time, are you going to be willing to sell out to God? Or you just want God to sell out to you? Can you imagine if he was hung on the cross for only half of your sins because he got bored on the cross? You'd be eligible. You'd have to take care of the other half. That means you'd have to die the way he died, shedding the blood for half. Well, half is better than whole, right? Or would you rather have the whole? I'd rather have the whole. I don't want to hang up there. And he did that because he loves us. You see, you can manipulate people into obeying God, but that never is from the heart. And I challenge you this morning to check your heart. Is Jesus truly the number one priority in your life? Is Jesus truly the one that is the pinnacle person in your heart? Or is he just part of the convenience package to not go to hell? God does not want you to be a pebble. God wants you to be a stone. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to have longevity. God wants you to be with him in eternity. And the devil wants and will do everything to get you out. That's why when you got saved, all of a sudden all your buddies showed up that you haven't seen in 5 years, offering you a Budweiser. The enemy hates you. You got to make a choice that Jesus is going to be my priority. Because life is too stinking short to play games with heaven. Amen. Boys, girls. Listen, I'm single now. Jeepers, that stinks. I now have a greater love for all single people. Dear Lord. But you know, even as a single guy now, I've got to behave myself. Say amen. You gotta sell out to God even more. You gotta do more for God than ever before. If you're a single person. Pastor Andrea, we encourage each other all the time. Here's my question to you. If you'll bow your heads with me real quickly. The reason I do that is not for shyness, because the Bible says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before God. But it's for you and I to actually be honest with ourselves. The greatest deceiver has never been the devil, it's us. Is your dedication to Christ more or less than last year? You can use all the excuses you want, but, that's still a but. There's still a crack in the seam. It's still messy. Is Jesus your highest priority in your life? Nobody can answer that but you. And mom and dad can't answer it. Husband and wife can't answer it. Grandma and grandpa can't answer it. Just you. You're the only one that can be honest with yourself. I want you to be honest. Can you take a minute and ask yourself this question? Is Jesus my highest priority? Is Jesus my highest priority? Come on, ask yourself. And if he's not, today I want you to make him your highest priority. Many of you struggle with life's problems, depression, discouragement, frustrations, because he's not your highest priority. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I'm not saying joining a church, I'm saying you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, you've never truly, fully surrendered your life to Christ, and today you want to do that, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not going to wait long. Either you want it or you don't. Either you want God or you don't want God. He's not going to give you half the cross. He's going to give you the whole cross. I'm only going to count down from five. Five, come on, get your hand up. Four, three, two, last call, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. I know this was kind of an in-the-face message, but I believe it's necessary. Before it ever gets in your face, it's always in mine. And I pray that you and I will show God so strong, you and I will live God so strong, you and I will stand up for Jesus so strong that the world will never have to question who he is in you. He's the hope of glory. Amen. Father, I release blessing on your church. God, not my church, it's your church, your body, your family. God, we just had some good food. We opened your word. We heard your verses. Feed our spirit, oh God, and don't let it die when we walk out of the building. But God, let it rumble in our tummy all afternoon long. Let us bring it back up time and talk, oh God, that we may literally sit back and hear, Father, where you want us to be. Lord, I pray that this house, here or online, will make a decision that we are not half for Christ, but all for Christ. We're not half serving you, but we're all serving you. We're not having half the cross, we want all the cross. Jesus, that our lives are not our own, we've been bought with a price. God, I pray that in these last days, you're raising up a church that is so, so passionate and disciplined for you, that will bring in that harvest before the trumpet of God does sound. Lord, I know we've got design here in the middle of this cornfield. God, I know we've only begun. And we thank you for time. Time, Father, time to win more souls. Yes, we'll occupy till you come, but time, the reason we're here, is to rob hell and fill heaven. Give us the people, Jesus. Give us the souls, Jesus. Then when we get to heaven, you'll say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. For the only thing we can take to heaven with us is somebody else. So fill us with vision. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need healing in your body, you need deliverance in your soul, you need God to touch you, minister to you, they're here right now. They know how to pray. They'll see God move in a masterful way. I want to remind you, if you didn't raise your hand for Jesus, but you want God, Mindy's right over on this side. We want to pray with you, encourage you, and strengthen you. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.
The Lord is my strength,
my strength,
my strength,
my strength.
Oh, the joy of the